Good morning. Thank you, Wes. Appreciate that very much. Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer. And the purpose of the prayer is just kind of shift gears and get oriented to what we're here for. Bill, how are you doing this morning? Hanging in there. That's all we can do. Oh, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this assembly to come together and worship you in spirit and in truthfulness of who and what you are. And Father, we pray that all that we do will be glorifying to you in the power of your spirit, the glory of your Son. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's begin with song.
Would you all please stand up and join us with song 208, hymn 208.
I'm sure you know that comes from Isaiah. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee, because they trusted the name. Okay, let's see. Had a great conference in Tucson. It was great being with John. We just had some wonderful fellowship, John and Judy and I. And the conference went very well, good questions, and they just will ask questions in the middle of class, and it's really a very reliable, very good setting. And John is going to retire from working his job at the airport in the end of July. So I'd like to have him down here for a week. Do y'all think he could come during the week if we had a guest speaker? Okay, very good. And like to get John down here and fellowship together, and he does a lot of work. We bought a program. There are different levels of the Logos program. I bought the lowest level, but he bought the upper level, and it's going to give him more time to just do some study, and he's looking forward to that. So we'll have him here on a conference sometime. And if the D-backs go to the World Series, we'll have him during the period of the World Series and go home, watch that together. But it went really, really well. But while there, Bill Risley came down, came up from Sierra Vista. Now, that's kind of where they live, and Sierra Vista is just above the Mexican border in the United States, about an hour's drive outside of Tucson, south of Tucson. And right now they're there because their daughter, Amber, is she's pregnant, but she's having some complications. And so she has to remain in a stable condition, or she doesn't in active position, and they have to kind of keep a good watch on her. So he drove up. Pat wanted to come, but he drove up to Tucson one night and just could not thank you enough for the offering on the van. It really just completely took them by surprise, because not very few many weeks before that we had taken an offering and given it to them when they were here. And then to be able to do that, and they've already taken it out on some mission trips, and they're planning on just more and more and more mission trips. He had pictures of how they're using the new van and to set up and have people be around it. So it's I told him it's just wonderful for us to be a part of it. And so let's just continue to be in prayer. Now next Sunday, Philip will be teaching here, and I will be the next Sunday evening is the first day of the camp in Tulsa, and our kids are going to be wearing this shirt, the Spring Valley Bible with our logo on it. And so we're going to kind of put the other kids down and just be a little separate there, and looking forward to it very much. Then that following Sunday, which will be the 22nd, Grady will be, that's the Risley son who does the prison ministries, finally get him here. And he'll come back with me from Tulsa, and he'll speak here Sunday. And so that we can have, you can have fellowship with him and talk. We're going to have a brunch together, and the theme is Italian. Is this posted back there? Okay. Theme's Italian, and spaghetti and meatball, raviola, lasagna, pizza. Let's go eat. And so that will be the 22nd, and just hope you'll be able to come and fellowship with Grady and listen to his report. His dad is so funny. He said, now, at the camp, you're going to be with Grady all the time, aren't you? And I said, well, I imagine, but well, he just needs somebody around him. Kind of hold him down. And I said, no, man, he's all right. Yeah, you don't know Herman. He tends to get going. So I'm looking forward to spending some time with Grady there, and Dan, and all the kids. Going to have a good week. And so looking forward to that. Any questions on all of that? The schedule. Okay. So next Sunday, Philip will be here. Then the following Sunday, Grady will be here. And we'll have some fellowship time together, and we'll have brunch together. Remind them next Sunday, Philip. So I'll leave this up here so that you'll know. Okay. And it'll be on the internet also, won't it, Leslie? On our mail out that our church mail out. Okay. All right. Okay, let's talk about prayer. And we're very concerned in our local, and been in prayer for Tish, and you think it's working now.
Yeah, I'll give you a good report. I think it's answer to prayer. I found this alternative doctor, and he's doing these new treatments on me, and I think it's working. And I think the one that
is
infected is the healing. it looks like it's healing.
Very good.
And my energy's back.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
So I'm pretty
so watch
tired.
Out.
Yeah. Watch out, Jerry. Okay. And let's see, how's Edna?
She's doing great. She's on a cane.
On a cane. Watch out. Right, you watch out. She'll just start whacking you.
She goes back to the doctor on Wednesday, and hopefully he'll release her before she can get out of the house.
Okay, very good. She said before class, I asked her, and she's going to release her. I said, release her from... Well, let her all that. I said, you mean she's obeyed the doctor? Wow. Man, I'm not sure I obeyed everything the doctor told me when I got out, but that'll be good. Okay, we'll be in prayer that he will release her. And we'll be in prayer that the cancer is going away.
Yes.
That'd be good. And what's the status on Nathan?
He talked to the recruiter this past week. They sent a special message, a request, wanting to know what the delay is. And they told the recruiter that they should know this Tuesday.
I've never known it's so difficult to get in. Usually they'll come pick you up in the middle of the night and rush you off. All right.
I guess we're learning patience.
Yeah, all right.
In our house.
That'll be... We'll be in prayer then, and God's will be done, whatever it is.
Thank you.
That'd be good. And let's see, any other prayer requests? Yes, sir.
Yeah, there was some flooding in Indianapolis, and Leah's, Pat's daughter, home, one floor of it was underwater from her arms.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, and everybody in their neighborhood has been flooded out. So
oh, my goodness.
Please put their recovery and process.
Wow, that is so...
And there's possibility of more rain tomorrow, too, in the flood waters.
Looking at they have 11 inches?
Yeah,
more
11
than that.
Inches.
The creek that flooded their house has got to be, what, 20 foot, 20, 30 foot down below
those. Yeah, it's probably 150 yards from the house.
Yeah.
They sent us pictures that looked like a river.
Like a river.
Good career.
Glorious.
I bet they don't think it's so glorious.
But please put them on first.
Absolutely. Wow. My goodness.
He's still recovering from injury, so he's not able to do much of
it. Did they just put him on a raft and float him out?
The camera
doesn't
take pictures.
Just another thing to carry out at this point.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'd like to help, but I'm just injured. So, I will be in prayer, absolutely. Any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? And, yes?
I have a friend who took in a...
Well, we're very happy you have a friend, kid.
Our friend was
poor kid. Forget it. I didn't want to pray for him anyway. All right, go ahead.
He took in a high school girl that's pregnant from a broken family. She got beat up with a metal pipe. Went to Hodges to graduate. She's a new believer. 3 or 4 months.
Welcome to the body of Christ. Absolutely, we'll be in prayer. My goodness. Did her name is
Christina?
Did the beating hurt the fetus in any way or pregnancy?
We don't know at this time.
Okay.
I guess they're assuming not, but we didn't go into
okay. All right.
All
right. That's bad. Well, we'll be in prayer for Christina and for him. What a wonderful Christian guy to for the family to do that. That's very good. Wow. Okay. Any other prayer requests? Donna, how's your friend doing? Had the cancer.
He has spoken
now. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Just be in prayer for each other, for each other. There's a lady in John's church, and her and her husband are very active in the church. In fact, her husband goes down to Mexico every other month and takes 25,000 to 30,000 lessons that they've printed up that the Aristides have written. And she has cancer, and she's at level 3, and level 4 being the maximum. And just be in prayer for Sharon and Larry. So, in fact, some of you might have met Larry. He came through here several years ago, and when we were over in Arapahoe, he came through and worshiped with us. So, but be in prayer for Sharon this time, and just be in prayer for each other. The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. The gracious giver is defined as one who has personally accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, but it's not just for the Christian. The offertory is for the believer who knows how to be filled with the Spirit by grace through faith. And Paul says, if I give everything to feed the poor so that I myself become poor, and yet have not love, it profiteth nothing. So it really is for the believer who knows how to be filled with the Spirit. So let's prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to this facet of worship, and it is worship, therefore we're not impressed with ourselves, whether we give sacrificially, abundantly, but we're responding to your grace and your love to us, as you have prospered us. And Father, we are reminded of the two great spheres of freedom that are involved in the actual mechanics of this facet of worship, the political economic freedom that we enjoy in America, that freedom to do with our lives and our resources as we see fit, and our time to live where we see fit, to work, to go to any church. So many wonderful freedoms, Heavenly Father, that we still enjoy in America. We cross that, Heavenly Father, with the great freedom wherewith we have been set free through the person and work of Jesus Christ on the cross and the subsequent resurrection. For it is in the spiritual realm of freedom that we have eyes to see how to use our political economic freedom. Freedom is not free, Heavenly Father, and we know that. Our political economic freedom has cost the lives of men and women throughout the history of this country. It's in harm's way today. But neither is the spiritual freedom that we enjoy. It cost Christ his life on the cross. So therefore, both realms of freedom become very precious to us. The spiritual freedom to give us the eyes and the clarity to see how to use our political economic freedom, what to do with our time and our resources, where to go to church and why. Father, we pray now that you'll receive the offerings that we're about to give and that you will continue to use them. What a blessing it is, Father, to us that you allow us to have part in the spreading of the gospel through missions, through the internet publication, as well as our local assembly here. And we pray, Father, you will continue to use this assembly. Father, pray for our young children as next week they will be going to camp and traveling, that your Spirit will use that time to solidify in them the importance of walking by faith. They will have a wonderful Christian time with other Christians, just enjoy themselves and understand how wonderful is your grace if they just walk by faith. Father, we thank you and we praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you very much, Wes. Rick, how's Terry's mother? Just some things we've been praying for, just follow up on, and how's she doing?
Good.
Doing good? Good. Okay. Very good. Good. Okay. She's home and doing all right, good. And how's Alicia doing? Good. Wow, absolutely. Boy, that's a big prayer. That's the biggest prayer. That's the big prayer. Okay. That'll be good. Okay, let's sing. Steve, did you want to preach, or did you want to take the offering, or? Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. It's so interesting to watch clips of even football games in the 30s, 40s, and part of the 50s. They wore people wore coat and ties to the football games, and boy, time changes. Okay. We're in the closing verses of Romans 1, dealing with the ramifications in the soul and in the life of those who deny the existence of God and deny the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's prepare ourselves for our study and prayer that the Holy Spirit will open our eyes to the things He'd have us to see. He's the teacher. He's the one that makes these things clear. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we go through this list, we pray that we will be challenged to be aware of what we're like in the flesh when we're not in the power of Your Spirit. These things will take on a characteristic in our own souls and our own lives. So, Father, I pray that these things will be a warning to us. Father, I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. Verse 28, and just as he did not see fit to acknowledge God, and they being the unbeliever, who have denied the very being of God, denied the gospel as the only way to God, the person of Jesus Christ, did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them over. This is the third giving over by God in the end of Romans, chapter 1, over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper to the being of even the unbelievers with one another. What is not proper is people live together. Verse 29, being filled with all injustice, immorality, greed, and evil. Now there are three aspects of the depraved mind: thought, motive, action. So thought, injustice, anti-justice, and evil in the list. Motive, greed. And we saw last week how greed is just so predominant in America today. That's why our nation has such an astounding debt right now. It's greed. And why so many Americans are in dangerous area of indebtedness. Greed, and how greed is going to continue to bask in America. And then the action, immorality. Then we have the next phrase, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips. And so what we're looking at is full of envy or jealousy. This is where we left off last week. And we left off at point, I think we were just getting ready to start point 3. So let's just quickly go over point 1 and 2 and looking at jealousy. I won't be able to spend the time I want to on every one of these. But some of them I think need to have a little clarity made on them. And so, the power, the control, and the destruction of jealousy. The source of jealousy, envy. The first thing to know about jealousy is that jealousy is a sin, but it is more than just a sin. Jealousy, envy comes right out of Satan's lie. What is Satan's lie? My self-worth is made up of my performance plus others' opinion of me. Now, when you live under Satan's lie, the performance trap, jealousy and envy are inherent to it. If you're living under the performance standard, you're going to be jealous of those that outperform you. Be envious of those who have what you don't have, that you would like to have. My self-worth, my performance, others' opinion of me. Jealousy springs up when your performance is not what you desire. And what we have is another word. What springs up when your performance is okay? Arrogance. Both of them are in the list. Both of them are going to come, well, they all do, but they're both going to come right out of Satan's lie that the flesh always functions under our law. Live under law. Same thing. It breeds jealousy, envy, arrogance. And so this becomes a great problem. Yet another performance, another's performance is superior to yours, or people's opinion of them is higher than of you. Jealousy arises in your mindset. Subpoint 3, jealousy, envy is a vital part of the immune system of our flesh nature. It's our flesh being, our flesh self. It has, our physical bodies have an immune system. Our flesh nature has an immune system. And by the way, so does our spiritual self. And the immune system of our spiritual man that we are is spiritual love. Spiritual love is the immune system. But we're looking at the flesh nature having an immune system. Jealousy is a natural protector of self. And like any good immune system, when jealousy senses that self is threatened, it rushes to the defense. I'm sure you know how the immune system works now. With AIDS and all, we've become more aware of our immune system. And a foreign object comes into your body, the T cells of the immune system, they rush to it and start combating it. So this is what jealousy is. It senses self being jeopardized because somebody else is being praised. Somebody else looks better. Somebody else has something you don't have. And so jealousy rushes to the rescue. Jealousy feels threatened when advantage is given to another. Point two, jealousy, envy as an immune system. Now, just take up this whole point under this point. One, as an immune system of the flesh self, jealousy is obsessed with self. Remember that the key thing about any immune system is self. Identification of self. That's one of the most fundamental things about an immune system. Being able to identify self. Always interested in those people who have sinuses and get affected by all of the things that are in the air. Well, their immune system senses that these are dangerous, and so it comes to the rescue. Whereas those that do not have that, the body says, okay, that's nothing dangerous, don't worry about it, and move right on. So identification of self is fundamental to an immune system. Now, spiritual love, as your immune system recognizes who and what you are in Christ. Recognizes who and what you are in Christ. That's the person that spiritual love seeks to always defend. And it does so by what? Making us long-suffering. Instead of reacting when people hurt us, spiritual love makes us long-suffering, kind, not jealous, not envious, not arrogant. But we're looking at the immune system of our flesh nature. So point two, jealousy looks at self and then at what others have. Compare self with others. Jealousy feels threatened. And then in defense of self, makes rival out of anyone who might have some advantage, real or perceived. And this is very subtle sometimes. Sometimes it's very dramatic. If you strive and strive to have something, then you see somebody has more, better, jealousy comes to the forefront. Envy comes to the forefront. Subpoint three, but jealousy is like AIDS. In protecting the flesh self as an immune system, jealousy ends up destroying you. Jealousy eats away at every part of your flesh existence. So point four, Proverbs 14:30, a tranquil heart is life to the body, but jealousy is rottenness to the bones. So point five, while most other sins have some pleasure associated with them, and they do, most sins have at least in the flesh nature some form of pleasure. Now, it's momentary and destructive, and we can talk all of that about it, but nevertheless, it's has some pleasure generally related to it. But not jealousy. Jealousy has no pleasure. There's no pleasure in jealousy or envy, only destruction. Jealousy destroys your enjoyment of blessings that you may receive from God. You were happy with your house. Then you went over to a friend's house and it was better. Had things yours didn't. So now you no longer enjoy yours. You enjoyed blessings that God gave you. Enjoyed your children. Enjoyed your husband. Your wife. And then you met somebody else or saw somebody else. And now you no longer enjoy the blessings that God has given. So it destroys enjoyment of blessings. Cannot enjoy your husband, your wife, even your children, your work, friendships are destroyed by jealousy and envy. Jealousy destroys your ability to enjoy things in life. Jealousy can destroy a marriage, a friendship, a family. Song of Solomon, the Song of Solomon talks about how jealousy has a greater fire than Sheol does. Subpoint 7, no one admits to jealousy or envy. It's so base and petty that no one admits to ever being jealous. No one admits to this type of thing. And no one ever envies an envious person. No one ever envies an envious person. That one envies a person destroyed by jealousy or envy. Nobody's ever jealous of somebody that's jealous. In fact, we don't like it. Jealousy, envy must be controlled. Jealousy, envy must be in control. This is where we left off, so now we began this morning. Jealousy and envy must be in control. Subpoint 1, you sense self-doubt and insecurity breeds jealousy. So you turn to control in order to counter these. And here's the kicker. The danger about jealousy. The more you turn to control to combat your jealousy, the more you lose control. That is, the more you turn to jealousy to control your insecurity, the more you actually lose control. And it just starts taking over now. And there's nothing you can do about this jealousy. You have reached a point now where you're definitely going to destroy your marriage. You're definitely going to destroy your enjoyment of something. People just can destroy so much with jealousy. And once it takes control, you're in for the destruction. Point 4, major observations on jealousy. Let's just take some major observations on jealousy. Remember that jealousy, envy come from the flesh. 1, the flesh nature resents what others have. It's just the makeup of our flesh nature. It resents what others have. That others have or get things or advantages that you do not have. And therefore, the tendency of the uprise of jealousy. Jealousy arises inside because the flesh nature is not satisfied with what you have. See, people, spiritual love is satisfied with who you are in Christ. Spiritual love is satisfied with who you are. You're content with who you are. And therefore, love is what? Love is not jealous. Because it's completely satisfied. If somebody has more, that's fine. You're happy for them. If they're believers, you're happy for them. Spiritual love protects who you are in Christ because spiritual love is totally content with who you are. Jealousy is never content with who you are in the flesh. Always got to have more. Always got to have the best or be complimented if somebody else is. Have whatever advantage they may have. You've got to have it. Flesh nature is never satisfied with self. Never satisfied with who they are, what they have. Most Christians who suffer from jealousy are in denial, this suffering problem. And therefore, they never allow the Holy Spirit to take care of it. This is where 1 John 1:9 really comes in. People have really abused 1 John 1:9 from the Roman Catholic Church to a lot of Protestant movements and made that the cure-all of how to be filled with the Spirit. No, it comes off of 1:8. And 1:8 is the real issue. They're in denial. So if you're in denial, you have to acknowledge. If you're in denial about your jealousy and your envy, you're never going to allow the Holy Spirit to take care of it. You've got to allow the Holy Spirit to take care of it, but you have to therefore to be in acknowledgement of it. Be aware of it. Subpoint three, jealousy, envy cause you to feel threatened by the advantage of others. Just the whole self, it's just so illogical. It is so illogical. But it feels threatened by any advantage that someone may have. And I should have put on here, the advantage may be real or imaginary. May not even be a real advantage. But it just feels threatened by it. Therefore, causing you to oppose and to dislike the fact that others have something you do not have. Jealousy reasons in your mind that those advantages, those properties that others have, make that person to be superior to you, better than you. This isn't true. This isn't true at all. But the mindset of jealousy is convinced. If they look better, they have this better, they know more than I do, they're more successful, drive a better car, on and on and on, that makes them better. No, it doesn't make them better. Doesn't make them superior. But jealousy makes that assumption. And therefore rises up and destroys your capacity to enjoy life. Point five. Jealousy demands exclusive devotion. This one's tough in a marriage, in a human relationship. Jealousy demands exclusive devotion and is intolerant of rivalry, whether that rivalry is real or imaginary. And this, unfortunately, is the way some husbands control their wives, some wives control their husbands. This is the way some preachers run their church. Can't listen to anyone else. You can't go anywhere else. This is it. All of this type of control that jealousy has to have because it demands exclusive devotion and intolerant of rivalry, imaginary or real. Six, jealousy is based on that. Whatever it is that you value, you will be jealous of those who have it, and you don't. Especially those close to you, friends, family. Now, if we had time, I would relate all of this with the Satan's lie. My performance, my self-worth is made up of my performance plus what? Plus others' opinion of me. So we have here, that is based on values, whatever you value, and you'll be jealous of those who have it, and you don't, especially of those close to you, friends. So all these things work together, and they interact. So jealousy is based upon values. If you do not value having cats, you don't care if somebody has 50 cats, as long as they don't live next door to you. But if you value things, then jealousy has a tendency of cropping up. This is true in the material world, and it's true in the spiritual world, and I want to talk about that. If you value money, jealous of those who have it. If you value success, jealous of those who are successful. If you value beauty, jealous of those who are more attractive to you. And if you're a man, then you're jealous of those who marry someone more attractive than your wife. If you're a woman, you're jealous of more of someone whose husband's more attractive than yours. It just ruins your life. This thing, jealousy. Let's talk about the spiritual, religious and spiritual. If you value spiritual things, you're jealous of those who are more spiritual, more religious than you. You're jealous of their spiritual gift. You're jealous of their knowledge. You're jealous of their performance. You're jealous of the praise that they get from others. You just hear about somebody thanking somebody for doing something around the church, and boy, your jealousy crops up. Well, they're not so special. That was easy to do what they did. I could have done that. Well, then why didn't you? It's jealousy, even in a spiritual realm, in the church, where we are spiritually. I know people who have made little statements of jealousy in regard to the way somebody prayed. Just amazing. If your values are in the spiritual realm, jealousy and envy will crop up there. So we've got to be on guard at all times. The more things which cause jealousy to rise up and protect self, money, things, success, praise. Jealousy cannot stand it when it hears someone else being praised or congratulated and needs to say something about self. Power is another one. Accomplishments are another one. People can't even be complimented. Boy, that sure is a nice dress. Well, wait, what about mine? Wait a minute. This is a nice dress. Boy, I really like that tie. Well, wait a minute. This isn't a Sears Roebuck special. Whatever it is. Somebody, we hear someone else complimented. Wait a minute, what about me? That's what jealousy ruins our life. Money, things, success, praise, your word. Okay. Point 7. Historically. Let's talk about history in the Bible. Historically, jealousy was the motivation of the religious crowd to crucify Jesus Christ. I put it on the board for the sake of time. Matthew 27:18. For he, Pilate, knew that because of jealousy, they, the religious crowd, had delivered him up, Jesus Christ, to be crucified. He knew it. He's an unbeliever. But he recognizes jealousy of the religious crowd. See, spiritual love is such a force that it manifests itself often in our life. So does jealousy. And even the unbeliever knows when you're jealous. Jealousy is one of those inward sins that just manifests itself in a very ugly way in life. But they crucified. They were jealous of the people following Jesus Christ. The religious crowd were. They were jealous of the attention he was getting and the following he was getting, and they wanted to get rid of him. In Acts 5:17, the high priest delivered over the apostles to the authorities out of jealousy. This is moving into after Christ is gone and the apostles were teaching Christianity, Christ. So the priest, the Jewish high priest, jealous of them, turned them over to the authority. Jealousy from religion has caused and is causing more violence and death throughout history. Islamic religion is motivated by jealousy to kill all infidels. That is, to kill all who do not adhere to the Islamic religion and the infidels, especially those who follow after Jesus. Cannot stand it. Cannot stand for there to be other religions. See, the wonderful thing about grace never feels threatened. Grace never feels threatened. Grace can stand. Truth can stand on its own and is not afraid to do so. Paul in Athens, he looked at all of the statues and all of these representations of religion, ideologies. And he saw the one about here's one, the unknown God. I'm going to tell you about him. I'll put that one up right here and let you decide. He's the creator of all things. He went from, you remember, we did it at his creation to a resurrection. Okay. Most religious people, most legalistic people, are extremely jealous, and the expression of the jealousy is to demand that everyone agree with them or be punished. The Jews were so hardened against the truth of the gospel, being by faith alone in Jesus Christ as Messiah alone, that God knew one final way to entice the Jew to believe and come to Jesus Christ for salvation, and that was to arouse the jealousy in them that these Gentile dogs were being saved by faith alone. All right, let's open your Bibles to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. I want you to see this one. I didn't want to put it on the board. Romans chapter 11, verse 11. I say then, they did not stumble so as to fall, did they? May it never be. But by their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make them jealous. That is, to make the Jewish crowd jealous that these dogs, Gentiles, were being invited into the kingdom by grace through faith alone. And they were working for it. They were working hard. They were going to be jealous that somebody could just come in, especially a dog, could just come in by faith alone. Look at verse 14. If somehow I might move to jealousy my fellow countrymen and save some of them. In other words, have them so respond to the gospel out of jealousy. Wait a minute. You can't let these dogs come in that way. They're not keeping the law. Well, that's how they come in. Just by, well, can I do that too? I'll do that. That's what he was hoping would happen. And it did in some cases. It did in some cases. Okay? Point eight. Jealousy comes from our flesh nature, our sin nature. But as a protector of our flesh nature, jealousy is so volatile that it's always intensified with evil. Now, what I'm doing here is I want to talk about for a moment that you've got jealousy, an act of jealousy. That's a sin. But if this thing is nourished inside of you, it is often associated with evil. Okay, therefore jealousy, envy are always found in the list of intensified evil. James 3:14. James 3:14. Let's look at James 3:14. It's a Bible church. Got to open your Bible. I can't put everything on the overhead. James 3:14. But if you have bitter jealousy, not just jealousy, but bitter jealousy, intensified jealousy, and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. The truth is that you have it. Don't lie against the truth. Don't lie against it. Verse 15, this wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but what is earthly, natural to our natural self, and demonic. Satan plays on it. Now look at verse 16. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. Disorder and every evil thing. Now, people, let's start with the first place. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder. The first place that this disorder is inside your own soul. It gives you disorder of who you are in Christ. It gives you disorder in coming to Christ. There is disorder and every evil thing. Disorder in your life, and it breeds a category of evil. The next one, 1 Corinthians 3:3. I did put this one on a board for you. For you are still fleshly, for since there is jealousy. Now, they're believers. They're believers in Christ. But they're not living in the Spirit. They're living in their flesh nature. So you are still fleshly, for since there is jealousy and strife among you. That is among you when you assemble. The Corinthians were a rowdy bunch. You just got to know that. They were a rowdy bunch of believers. Corinth was like the modern Las Vegas. There used to be a saying in the ancient world that just like if somebody goes to Las Vegas, well, man, you have fun. How much money did you lose? All this. Well, were you Corinthicized? That's what they would ask people when they'd come back. It just got that kind of reputation. And the people in Corinth, man, they'd hurt each other and they didn't care. They didn't care. Hey, you deal with that. That's the way I am. You're just going to have to deal with it. That's the way their attitude was. They were a tough bunch of people. So they would meet and there would be jealousy and strife. And they were mostly all Gentiles. Strife among you? Are you not fleshly? And are you not walking like mere men? Okay. Jealousy appears in the list of works of the flesh. Let's look at Galatians. Let's look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Now, I'm not going to read all the lists where these things occur, but in nearly every list that we have in the New Testament, jealousy, envy are in there. 5:19. For the deeds, the works, the manifestations of the flesh are evident. You don't even have to study. They're evident. Which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and if I didn't hit you, things like these. So he got every one of us in there. It's like the list in Romans. If he didn't hit you, you're dead. We're all in there somewhere. Titus 3:3 presents the same principle. Let's look over at Titus 3:3. Go past 1 and 2 Timothy. Titus chapter 3, verse 3. For we also were once foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived. Remember, one of the characteristics of our flesh nature is that it is deceitful above all else. Deceived, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hating one another. So this is things that we are. Jealousy is easily aroused, therefore we must always be on guard. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let's go back two books, 2 Timothy and then 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 4. He is conceited and understands nothing, but he has a morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about words, out of which arise envy, strife, abusive language, evil suspicions. People, it's just so easy to arouse jealousy in people, in history. Okay, this brings us to point 9. Prevention of jealousy, envy. Prevention of jealousy, envy. Spiritual love is the prevention of jealousy of the soul and life of the believer. 1 Corinthians 13:4, love is not jealous. And people, it's not my study today, but understand why jealousy is not envious. Because it's totally content with who we are in Christ. When you're totally content, jealousy doesn't rise up. Now, arrogance often does from the flesh. But in the spiritual realm, spiritual love allows us to be content with who we are in Jesus Christ. And when you're content in Jesus Christ, there's no room for jealousy, no reason for being jealous or envious. This is why it's so important that we walk by faith in the Holy Spirit, that He pours the fruit of the Spirit in us. And the fruit of the Spirit is love. And love is not envious. Love is not jealous. Point 10. But what of the inner impact of jealousy? Jealousy, envy over a period of time can build a stronghold in the soul of the believer. Is the Bible sufficient to answer that question? Just amazing how the Bible is sufficient for people to tell them about eternal life, tell them about God, how God became man, and died on a cross, buried and resurrected, and on that death on the cross took away the sins of the world, and believe it. The Bible can tell me about future events of prophecy, tell me about the rapture of the church, what's going to happen during the tribulation, what's going to happen to me after death, but the Bible is not sufficient to handle my daily problems. I got to go to extra-biblical. I got to go to psychiatrists, psychologists, counselors, drugs, alcohol. The Bible is just not sufficient. Oh, it'll give me eternal life, but it's not sufficient for daily life. My problem is too big. My problems are too important for the simple answers of walking by faith in the Spirit. So we have to ask ourselves, is the Bible sufficient? It's sufficient to give us eternal life. Yeah, I believe that. Amen. It's sufficient to tell us about Jesus Christ, about God the Father, about the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I believe that. It's sufficient to tell us where we came from and where we're going. I believe that. But is it sufficient to handle my stress, anxiety, depression, jealousy, envy, and the effect that these things have made over a period of time in my life? Okay, this becomes the great issue, so let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, is the Bible sufficient to handle our daily problems? Then, and this is a little different, is the Bible sufficient for taking care of the stronghold that these things have made over a period of time in our life? That cause the stress, the anxiety, the depression, the jealousy, the anger, the fear. All these things that have built up inside of us so that we have become by habit, we solve our problems with jealousy. We solve our problems with stress. We solve our problems with anxiety or depression because that puts us back into control. And that's a habit that we've developed all the time that we're in our flesh nature. And habits can be broken, people. Habits can be broken. And you can make it a habit to walk in the power of the Spirit and be who you are in Christ. Let's see what the Bible has to say about being sufficient to take care of these forces that build up inside of us. Verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, now walk is used here for our daily life. This is every day. This is right where you live. It's very interesting. I had forgotten and not emphasized it really. When I went last week, John has a group of people studying on a course to go into the mission field on Sunday afternoon. And after he picked me up at the airport, he wanted me to talk with them on the new covenant. And I said, well, we just happened to have studied that in our communion series. And so it was so funny on the plane. I know the guy next to me must have just wanted, but I had to get some of that organized. I didn't have time before I left. But it's really interesting that the Jews' understanding of God was not in theology, not in the way that you and I do. Their view of God was, how does God impose on my daily life? That's their view of God. And when you come down to it, that's our view of God. I don't want your view of God, which you can write down on a piece of paper. Oh, God is sovereign, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, and you know, righteous and eternal life. And I'm not interested in that. What's your view of God in your daily life? How does God impose on your daily life, moment by moment? That's our view of God. So walking in the flesh is just living in our flesh nature, living in this world. We do not war according to the flesh. I wish I had this on the overhead, but you got two different prepositions. In the flesh, according to the flesh. Those are two different prepositions. While we walk in the flesh, that's in this body that we're in, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare. Now, people, we're in a war. Now, in the physical world, a soldier is really not promoted that much if he's not involved in a war. If he happened to be at a time frame when there just wasn't a war, he's really in tough luck. But if there's a war, that's when a soldier can get rank and get promoted. Well, people, make no doubt about it, you're in one. You're in one. Every born-again believer is in one. And you know what? It doesn't matter whether you live like the people that the Rieslings were ministered to. No electric, no plumbing. They have their whole set of problems. And they would look at somebody like, they shouldn't have any problems at all. They have electricity and plumbing. They have roads. They have air conditioning. Boy, they shouldn't have any problem. We have ours. And even some of us say, oh, man, those people are so rich. How could they have any problem? Man, if I had all their money, I'd have no problem. I just lay out at the beach every day, all the time. We're all in a spiritual warfare. Always remember that. Don't look at someone else saying, well, they just don't have any problems. Every born-again believer is in the spiritual warfare. So, and it gives rise to stress, anxiety, depression, jealousy, envy, hate, fear, worry. Okay. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. Okay, what does that mean? It's not human wisdom. Not psychiatry, psychology, human counseling, drugs, alcohol. It's not going to use these. Not of the flesh. But divinely powerful. In other words, given by God. For the destruction of fortresses. These are fortresses inside our soul. These are fortresses jealousy and envy have built up. And therefore, when things come up in our life, they come to the forefront. Fear, worry. So many fortresses that are inside us. And by habit, we've built these fortresses up. And we can't tear them down. It's going to have to be the divinely given power. That is the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of the fortresses. We are destroying speculations. Now, speculations is a matter of the way that we think. Aristotle said of the word translated speculations, it is the heart and core of what man is. That's why Paul used this word. This is how you and I handle our daily life, our daily problems. Destroying speculations and every lofty thing. Every lofty thing, that's the high thinking. And what we do is we put a lofty thing, every lofty thing that needs to be destroyed is who I am in the flesh is more important than who I am in Christ. Can you imagine doing that? We could sit here and we think about, that's ridiculous. And then turn right around in life though. And turn into jealousy and envy and worry and fear and all these. That's a lofty thought. Who I am in the flesh nature is more important than who I am in Christ. And every lofty thought, every lofty thing that raised up against the knowledge of God, who I am in Christ. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And people note the word every. Every thought. Everything from when you get in a car and somebody drives in front of you, cuts in front of you, does something you don't like, and getting all stressed out, to the more real dramatic things that happen in our marriage and in our life. What's your thought process? Wait a minute. You know, who I am in Christ, this just doesn't matter. This just doesn't matter. But we put these things more important than God, more important than our relationship with Him. So the Bible is sufficient to handle even the fortresses that we've built up in our soul. It handles jealousy and envy, and it can tear down these fortresses that are inside. We do not need to go to extra-biblical things. God has given us the power of the Holy Spirit, divine power of the Holy Spirit, to tear down these fortresses. And it's just a matter of making it a habit of thinking, of knowing, thinking, and believing, and living who you are in Christ. Okay, we have the next one on our list is murder. So we'll take up murder and the rest of the list next, two Sundays from now. So, got to think about murder for a couple of weeks. Don't think about murder. That'd be bad. Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. We stand amazed, Heavenly Father, when we are not deceived and deceive ourselves as to what our flesh nature is really like. How desperately wicked our flesh nature really is. And you do not seek to make us a better person. You created us a new being. You did not try to restore that flesh nature like we would restore a car. You just pushed it aside and created us a new being in Christ. What an awesome God you are. And Father, we thank you that you have supplied us with your Spirit to give us the power to think, to live, and to enjoy who we are in Christ. Pray now that your Spirit will take the things that we've noted this morning on the stronghold of jealousy, envy. Let these things give us warning in our own soul and challenge us to always live and be and think who we are in Jesus Christ. And Father, as we close, we pray for this young girl, Christina. Pregnant as a teenager is difficult enough. But here she is found without parents. Physically ill, physically hurt, And we pray, Father, that your Spirit can use all of these adverse circumstances, bring her to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and somehow she'll even get the truth from walking by faith in your Spirit. And that, though it would oppose so many things in her life, she will see that you're a loving God. We pray for her. Pray that even this very hour, your Spirit will touch her soul. And the family that she's living with, they will give her the gospel. Father, we pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. For sure, living within, seeking to rise no more.